Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at WBEZ.org/events.
I left drinking on the city train to spend some time on the road.
And one more. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset, your place for all things happening in Chicago and beyond. And what you're listening to right now is the Chicago band Whitney. The group has achieved critical acclaim, even getting the attention of Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who declared the day the duo released their second album as Whitney Day. Well, the Chicago duo has just released their fourth album, Spark. They missed the mark of Whitney Day, which was August 30th, by a couple of weeks, but we are still overjoyed to be digging into this new release. This one's a bit of a departure from their usual indie folk sound. The new album embraces modernity with synthesized elements, complementing singer Julian Ehrlich's fantastic falsetto. Spark feels dreamy and dancey all at once. Joining me now to talk about the new album is drummer and vocalist Julian Ehrlich and guitarist Max Kakasic. To start us off, can you remind us how Whitney came together? I understand that you two were part of different projects before.
Me and Julian met because the band that I was in that started in Chicago called Smith Westerns took the band that he was playing drums for, Unknown World Orchestra, on tour.
On tour.
So they were opening for us.
Like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And then I left UMO and then joined Smith Westerns. Smith Westerns broke up like pretty shortly after that. And yeah, we like didn't set out to start a band or anything, but we were just like best friends living together. And one day we were, I want to say that we were like maybe a tiny bit hungover.
we were 22, you know?
We were 22 and just kind of like
22-year-old things.
Yeah, doing that.
And then you said, we should start a band.
I mean, a song just popped out, like almost as a joke. And we were like laughing about it, but also like, we kind of like this though.
Yeah.
And then it just formed into like, oh no, we really love this.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
So, Julian, what did you want to accomplish then with the new album? Let's fast forward a bit and talk about Spark.
It's just an extension of that. Like truly just committing ourselves to like making the greatest thing that we can. Exploring different sounds, like kind of letting go of like some of the rules that we had set for ourselves with this project and just like opening up the sound to like a whole new world.
I'm curious, what kind of rules? And you did the air quotes there that folks can't see.
We used to kind of be like anti-synth and like very much like obsessed with organic sounds and acoustic sounds and, you know, kind of like feeling like the music was like grown from the soil or something. And I just think that we, in order to write the best songs that we possibly could, we had to open up to like more synthesized sounds.
Anything to add, Max?
No, I think that's spot on. And also, you know, it was, I don't want to get too much into like necessities of pandemic, but you know, we were in a place where like we didn't have a way to like capture a full band.
Yeah.
And so we were kind of, our studio was built around us being able to play everything or overdub everything and capturing less of like a live band as we had before.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into the album. Here is Real Love.
Caught up in this life, yeah.
So we played what was a popular song from your first album. Now comparing it to Real Love, I can definitely hear an evolution in your sound. What do you make of this change? I want to hear from both of you on this.
I think it's one of the things that we're finding new ways to challenge ourselves is something that I think we're both really interested in. And with No Woman, I think we were very challenged by creating, like he was saying, something that felt like it was grown from the soil and like something that felt like it was backwards facing, maybe like looking at like 60s or 70s inspired music much more so than now. I think we're looking at more modern pop music and maybe music from the early 2000s
yeah.
as inspiration. And that's the new challenge, is like, how do we use the tools we learned from studying music from the 60s and 70s and apply them in like chord writing, lyric writing, melodies, everything into like making something a little more modern and current sounding that's like fun for us to listen to and hold up against newer music.
What do you have to say, Julian? Because I think it sounds different than your old stuff.
Oh, it totally does. But I think Max kind of nailed it too. Yeah, I just think our influences changed a little bit. If we were to listen to like our second record, which we're both super proud of and we love it, I think you can kind of hear us maybe growing a little tired of like, you know, just being like solely inspired by the band and Neil Young and Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell and blah, blah, blah. It's like we, you know, we were looking at a very specific point in the history of music. And I think it was very natural for us to like zoom out.
Yeah. Well, Max brought up, or one of you brought up the pandemic a moment ago. Julian, you say that that was a time where, A, this song came about, but B, you were also experiencing a lot of anxiety. Can you talk more about that? And how, specifically, how you think that feeling comes across in your music?
Yeah, I mean, Real Love was written, like, I went through, like, the sudden end of a relationship that was, like, a very, like, hot and heavy, like, emotionally intense and loving. And it's not like we like hated each other or anything, but it ended and it was like, it resulted in like some, like I had like weird, like heartbreak, panic, anxiety. It was like, I just feel like I was in the middle of like a storm and then the world kind of opening back up. We moved back to Chicago. There was so much changing.
Yeah.
And I think you can hear that in Real Love. It was like, it was a real like urgent, like that song was like bursting out of us.
Yeah.
At that time.
Well, Max, how would you say that the themes that we just talked about go into the making of the music video for the song? Because those colorful strobe lights, yeah. So dreamy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the music video for it, honestly, is us letting ourselves be, like, the most playful that we ever really have.
Yeah.
You know, like, and, like, kind of, like, enjoying the idea of a music video and not in, like, the most, like, I feel like our other music videos are, like, very serious in this way, and this was just like very lighthearted and like fun to make, and also just like the people that we got to work with pulled off the idea. It was a pretty ambitious idea with the mirror room and getting that all together. It was built for the
when they first told you the concept, were you like, how?
Yeah, and then we showed up to the set, and it was one of the most professional setups that I've ever been a part of. And
there was craft services and stuff.
Yeah, it was strange. It was strange.
All right, let's play another track. This is Twirl.
Turn back. Nothing to lose. I know this life.
So the lyrics in Twirl, I think they're so beautiful. There's a line, we know this life only brings bad news, but I'm going to try to hold on to you. Especially with all of the bad in the world. If I can just put it plainly, you know, we hold on to our connections with others, just trying to survive everything, right? So I want you to talk a little bit about how this song came together, Max, and just the emotions that went into writing it.
This one actually started kind of in almost the most basic folk song arrangement. It was a simple piano line, mm-hmm. like three chord changes, and a strumming guitar. The demo of it kind of sounds like a lost Neil Young B-side. And we went into the studio. John Congleton completely like helped us turn the whole thing on its head and kind of put it in this very hazy, underwater kind of zone. But I mean, I feel like in the same way, like a slower folk song kind of like belongs somewhere like outside under the moonlight on like a quiet summer night or something.
Yeah.
This also kind of like fits in that. And I remember like a few weeks ago, it was one of those like Chicago evenings where it's like really humid and seemingly like completely silent at like 10:30.
Yeah.
And I just went outside and listened to it, and it seemed like the perfect place to listen to this song. And I was kind of impressed. Like, it was one of those moments where I was like, wow.
That's kind
of
cool.
I'm really proud of this thing existing in this specific space. But I think thinking about the song as like a, starting as a folk song and writing lyrics that way and then completely producing in a different way, like really helped it along.
This is Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. And if you're just joining us, we're in the studio with Julian Ehrlich and Max Kakasic of the band Whitney. And we're talking about their new album, Spark, which is out today. So kind of picking up where you left off there, Max, I'm hearing elements of pop. I'm hearing some soul, a little country. It's a really unique blend, I think, that you guys have got. But I'm curious, where would you say, Julian, that you all draw your musical inspiration from?
I think at this point, like, we've been doing it for so long that, like, we are more so, like, inspired by each other. And, like, we...
So what are you pulling from Max? And what do you think he's getting from you?
I mean, this, it's like a funny way, I don't know. So much is unspoken in our relationship, especially creatively. And it's like we just kind of, if you were to watch us in the studio, it's like we just kind of like dance around each other and add little parts and like sometimes
I'd
literally
probably
dance.
Pay to see that.
Yeah.
And then one of us, like now in our 30s, you know, we're adults. One of us is like, you know what, man, I'll make dinner tonight. You maybe keep listening
so
and working on a part.
Grown up.
But it's like we also keep working. Like I was making pasta the other night when we were in the middle of trying to finish a song, and it was like, you know, I'll like let the sauce simmer a little bit and like run back to the studio and be like, I'm hearing this.
Oh, I love that.
Be like, all right, we got to track vocals. No.
Yeah.
So yeah, so you're getting inspiration from all over the place, it sounds like.
From simmering pasta
even
sauce.
Even from your pasta sauce. What about Chicago artists? Talk to me about those. Who are you listening to, and what do you like about them?
Well, Namdi is our label mate now, and we love his new record.
We love Namdi here at Reset.
I don't really want to be famous. I just want 1 million blue faces. I just want 1 million new fans of plays. Then I want to ride that massive wave, blowing all the money on diamonds.
Our trumpet player, Will Miller, has a project called Reservoir. But generally, just want to give a shout out to, like, the, you know, I hate the term younger because people used to call me that when I was 18, and I always.
But you're 30 now.
I know, but I always
not
like
you.
It's not like why I'm, you know, but just like the new, you know, like the new generation of bands coming up, like Lifeguard and Horse Girl,
Samir Truth,
Samir Truth,
Flowers,
just like I think there's a whole like, a scene coming up, and it's like really nice to see. I was a part of that when I was growing up, like the 18-year-old making music and playing some of the bigger venues, and it's like just great to see the next wave.
Well, you know, speaking of that, tell me more about your thoughts on this music scene here in Chicago. What do you think makes it so special? I like to ask that question when I bring other Chicago artists in. What do you think makes it special here? What do we got?
I mean, literally, support and camaraderie are the easiest ways to describe it, but to give you a concrete example, we went to see Shame last night, and They Hate Change opened, and we ended up hanging out with They Hate Change afterwards. And we were there. Some members from Twin Peaks were there. Grape Tooth were there. And I remember them saying, like, how is everyone just at this show? And we're like, this is normal. We all just show up at the shows.
Yeah, that's so
run
cool.
Run into each other, you know. Like, that's kind of how the scene is.
Would you agree, Julian?
Yeah. I mean, like, we spend a lot of time in, like, L.A. and New York and other cities around the country and the world. And it's just, there just isn't like that sort of like gross competitive aspect to the art scene here.
Not as siloed, right?
Yeah. It's like LA, you can just feel the sort of like weird tension.
Yeah,
and
I've
like
always
social
heard that.
Climbing and like
it oh. must be true. I've always heard that it's just I think people move there and once they get there it's just grind and me right.
Yeah, and it's just not, you know, it's like people make great art everywhere and in those cities for sure, but like, you know, at what cost kind of.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get back into the music. This is Memory. Studio. Yeah, this is the first track I found for some reason. I was just like, oh, I like this. Play it again. Repeat. Mm-hmm. this one, it talks about someone processing and sort of accepting their fear of death. Kind of a heavy subject. Expand on that for me, Max.
I feel like Jules is maybe better to talk about this one specifically.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, we do write a lot of the lyrics together, but... I don't know. This was the one where it was just like, we're gonna write about a panic attack now. Like, you know, which I feel like at a certain point, like we were pretty deep pandemic at that point, and it was kind of like, all right, we're going to have to do this and like do the like introspective, like really like dig deep and like get into the, the jungle that is like the human psyche or whatever. But you know, the funniest thing is like yesterday, and kind of like the weird, I don't know, just strangest thing is like yesterday, Memory got added to like a Japanese playlist on Spotify called Happy Stroll. And
oh.
I was like, they literally picked like the panic attack, anxiety, like I'm going to die, we're all going to die song.
I don't know, maybe it's the beat.
I know, I mean, I get it and I think it's amazing.
Because so, I mean, I think at first listen, I was like kind of just like listening to it just to listen. And then I was like, all right, let me listen a second time and really take it in. And I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where they went with this one.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not the drive to work song.
Oh, no. I mean, you still should.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay attention to the lyrics, really.
So you're giving me permission to just rock to the beat,
yeah,
and that's
yeah.
fine?
Blissfully aware of dying.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, yeah, all right.
It's a part of life. All right, let's hear another song. So this is County Lines. There was some collaboration that went into the arrangement here?
Yeah, this is like the first time we, you know, the song was pretty much finished, but all the strings were added afterwards and arranged by Rob Moose. And it was, we've always wanted to work with them, and it was just one of those things that, it was amazing.
Yeah.
He sent it back to us, and it was...
The rumors were true.
Yeah.
He's a professional.
Yeah. So... Are there other collaborations on Spark that we're going to hear?
Yeah. Nick Hakim plays keys on one of the songs. Sam Gendel plays trumpet all over the place. Leah Cole and Whitney Johnson play strings. There's a timing.
Mm-hmm.
They're like the usual suspects kind
yeah.
of too, but they do an incredible job on this record.
So here's what's got us buzzing here at WBEZ. You guys are going on tour soon. Yay! So what can you tell us about that?
It's actually pretty... This week, we're like starting rehearsals and kind of setting up the show. So TBD, but we're both very excited to get the... You know, the only song we've put together as a full band performance is Real Love when we played it on Kimmel a couple months
ago. Yep, I saw that too. Yeah, that was good.
Thank you. And... it was just so much fun to put that song together and get to play it with all of our, you know, close friends. And we just get to kind of put our heads down the next 2 weeks and kind of focus on doing that, which is...
You guys really come alive, I think, in the live performance space, especially you. What's this early rehearsal vibe like for the tour?
I think
it's just a lot of excitement.
I think it's going to be really fun and exciting, and I don't know. Yeah, it's like it's pretty normal for us to just like hang out with each other and then see like random Chicago friends, but like actually being back with like the family is going to feel really good.
It's the best part, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking with Whitney's Julian Ehrlich and Max Kakasic. Their new album, Spark, is out right now. Max and Julian, thank you so much. Such a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right, let's go out on another track from the album. This is Blue. This episode of Reset was produced by Marie Mendoza and Ethan Schwab and mixed by Andrew Merriweather. Subscribe to this podcast to stay up to date on local news, politics, arts, and culture. We drop an episode in your feed every weekday afternoon and sometimes on Saturdays. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll be back with more on Monday.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.